unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to the Top Chef for Half Up. I'm Haley Strong. I am excited to be here as always. It's like the highlight of my week doing this podcast. Another highlight of my, not just week, but I'd say full life, honestly. LaTanya, hi.
I am the sunshine in your life. That's it. That's all you get.
The dance
moves
again.
She's dancing.
Would you say
people.
That this is an effective dance move? Like, if I was a single person,
for people? Those of you all who can't see, Haley has interlocked her fingers and is essentially doing some kind of worm with her arms. And yeah, I mean, that is a dance move. Sure.
I used to break out the real worm sometimes.
Sounds painful.
It would be, because then I would bruise all of my knees and also my chin occasionally.
I never understand people who do that move.
But like, what part of it?
I don't
like how to do
just
it
like
or why.
Putting your body on the line for just a moment of laughter.
I feel like, okay, I feel like you're reading me, because I just put my body on the line for comedy all of the time.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I love physical comedy. Like, I grew up watching Tommy Boy and movies of that ilk and like loving them. I don't know what my problem is. Everything is good again in the universe because the bimbos are here. The
bimbos are back.
Bimbo cast.
Sorry,
it's just
daddy.
Us
Daddy's
today.
Away.
No daddy. No other mommy.
Yeah, no guests. So I feel like this has the potential to get really off the rails.
It's about to get.
Not that it's on the rails yet. We just started off the rails.
Never been on the rails.
So, yeah. So, we're here to talk about Top Chef. Honestly, love this episode. Might be, like, recency bias, but I'd say this was my favorite episode of the season so far.
Yeah, this and the Night Market, yeah. I think. These are very good episodes to go back to back. Like, these are two all-timers with some great challenges and some really heartbreaking eliminations, but, you know, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where, honestly, when I looked at all of the teams, I was like, oh, no, there's not a single team I want to go.
Exactly. Yeah, it was emotionally scarring, frankly.
Yeah.
And I hate
that.
Them. Like, for the
why do they have eliminations on this elimination reality show? Why can't they just continue on?
I don't know why they just can't give people a second chance in life.
I mean, there is Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh. Well, fuck. Sorry.
I don't think children listen to this podcast, but I could be wrong.
Well, in case they do, Bimbo cast do 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 Bimbo cast do 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 Bimbo cast do 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 Bimbo cast. All right, there we go.
I'm getting that tattooed on my body. You know what else I would get tattooed on my body if I was planning on going to Top Chef?
What?
A biscuit recipe. Like, straight up. I know you're not allowed to bring recipes to Top Chef,
but memorize in your mind a biscuit recipe.
I've tattooed it.
This is like the 30th biscuit challenge, and everyone's like, a biscuit? Whoop.
Yeah, like, if the season is taking place south of the Mason-Dixon line, you have to have a biscuit recipe ready.
Yeah,
Rumble.
Get yourself a biscuit recipe.
Was that a geographically appropriate joke? What
Texas.
What is the Mason-Dixon line?
Something racist.
Fair.
I know about it. I know what you mean. Like, if you are in the South, and I know that some people don't consider Texas the South, but if you're Black, it is. And you don't have a biscuit recipe, then I don't know what's going on in your mind. Like, what are you doing with your life?
I also just feel like any season of Top Chef, I am memorizing a biscuit recipe, because I feel like it's such a versatile thing in case you have like a dessert challenge you need to do, just like as a side dish if you're making a sandwich of any sort.
You need a biscuit recipe. You need to know it, like, at least two desserts that you can execute well. You need to know how to cook sea bass. You need to know how to properly cook eggs. Like, these are just things that you have to know for Le Top Chef.
Yeah, and we came into this, what is it called? Quick Fire Challenge.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Inspired by Lucille B. Smith. Her grandson was there, and we're doing a biscuit challenge.
Lucille B. Smith, by the way, was a G. Like, this woman is amazing. She was an African-American entrepreneur, educator, inventor, food corporation founder, and president of a company. She went to, like, all of the colleges, basically. She graduated. She managed to have two children while doing all of this. She worked as a seamstress and a cook for private clients before she started to cater dinners and had the opportunity to manage cooking at a girls' summer school. Like, she just really paid her dues in the most laborious way possible. And then rose from the ashes like a glorious phoenix. And now there is a biscuit challenge in her name.
Yeah, because she invented the first hot biscuit mix.
Which, of course she did. You know?
Queen.
That's love
queen,
her.
Queen S right there.
Yes.
So yeah, we're making biscuits on Top Chef, and we have some people who are excited and some people who are like, I don't bake. And it's always like really perplexing to me, the chefs who come on are like, I hate baking. I don't bake. I've never baked in my life. I'm like,
but
what? Like, you've never just like, attempted to
it's,
bake?
It's okay if Jay does it, because Jay says, I don't bake. I like to get baked. And then just belly laughs. And so did I. That was amazing.
She was not who I would have pegged as our our weed queen this season.
No, but it makes so much sense now. She's always so relaxed.
There is no show on television that respects potheads more than Top Chef. Like, going through every season, there's at least like one person who's like, I'm making a weed joke.
Oh, yeah. If you're a chefin', basically, like, I don't know a chef who isn't in the weeds, as they say. I don't know a single one. And I actually, thinking through my life, know more than the amount of chefs that normal people would know, unless they're doing a Top Chef podcast, I guess. But yeah, people who, like, went to Northwestern and were just like, yeah, I'm going to be a chef. Like, I'm going to finish fully 4 years at Northwestern. And then be a chef, because like all of you are stressing me out, which I respect.
Yeah.
They cook amazing food. I love visiting them.
That sounds like the dream. You know what else sounds like the dream? Eating 12 biscuits.
Oh my God.
Except there's one biscuit that just was aggressively bad.
Yeah.
And we'll get there.
Yeah.
We will get there. And I want to see if we have the same aggressively bad biscuit. So we start with Jackson, who made the scallion biscuit glazed in hot maple with ostrich sausage and crispy cheddar with a fried egg. He actually ends up taking this challenge. I mean, it sounds great. And he was just trying to like do something odd. And I like that he tried to get redemption for his crispy cheese. And Padma was like, crispy cheese again, Jackson.
Yeah.
And he's like,
thanks, Jackson. If that is your real name.
There was like a lot of hot maple and hot honey accoutrements in this challenge, and I'm very much here for it.
Yeah, I've oddly never had hot honey, but I want some. Like, it's not for lack of wanting it.
I think you'd be a big fan.
Yeah, I think so, too. This sounds really good. I've never had ostrich before.
I haven't either.
I'm kind of scared of it in that I'm afraid of the actual bird it comes from.
Yes.
Like, what a terrifying creature. Just like a full on. There are a few dinosaurs left. And that's one of them, you know.
I have never thought about it before, but I believe you.
It's true. It's like, we've got those alligators and crocodiles, and I'm like, I'm out on all of you. Burn them all into sausage.
Have you seen one IRL, like, up close?
Oh, no. I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
There was
ever again.
When I lived out in the country, there was a farm down the street that had not an ostrich, but an emu that just like lived on their farm.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
And I don't know if they're like emotionally prepared for winter or not.
No, I saw like one in Napoleon Dynamite years ago, and I'm still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't that a llama?
Oh, right. Llama, emu. Like, what do you expect from me? It's Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. I'm not even supposed to be podcasting.
Robert made a sweet corn biscuit with Japanese brown sugar, strawberries, and whipped cream.
Llama emu. That is a llama and an emu.
No, that's an animal I do not want to mess with.
No.
I would mess with the sweet biscuit, though.
Yes. I don't know what makes Japanese brown sugar different than American brown sugar, but I'm sure it's delightful because every other Japanese thing that I've tasted is wonderful. So yeah, I'm all up in this. Like, I don't like a lot of sweets, but if I'm getting a lot of savory, which, you know, like basically everyone else in the challenge is doing here with the exception of maybe one person, then I'm all for this type of biscuit. And it has strawberries, which is my that's my favorite fruit.
I am very much a person who needs like a balance in meals of sweet and savory. So if I have like a savory meal, I need like a sweet drink or something to balance it out.
Uh-huh.
Like just at all times. Or like if I have a dessert, I also need to eat nacho chips at the same time.
Oh.
I just like I always
eat
a balance.
It while eating the dessert.
I mean, sometimes, or you know what I'll do is, like, I'll eat the dessert, and then I'll eat, like, three nachos, but then okay. I need, like, one more sweet thing after to, like, balance that.
Sweet things actually make me hungry. So when I'm having an issue with my appetite, which happens sometimes because of medication, I will eat something sweet, and that'll motivate me to want something savory to, like, get rid of it.
Get like rid of the taste. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like I am sometimes if I'm like drinking a Coke and then I eat like three sweet tarts, that's like too much for me to handle. And then I need to like go get a nacho. But then I need another drink of Coke to like balance out the nacho.
You say a nacho. Are you making single nachos?
No, well I'm just like I guess it's like one tortilla chip out of the bag.
Okay. I was just like, are you just like taking a tortilla chip and then
putting cheese on it and putting it in the oven.
Yeah.
Now
that. Just a single nacho.
Now that's an idea.
I mean, do that for your lunch. Make some nachos. Some actual nachos.
Ethan's going to go get us some JBCs.
I don't know what that means.
Junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Oh. Okay.
I love Wendy's.
Yeah. It's a treat for... I enjoy their... What are they called? The frozen thingies.
Oh, like the frozen. Oh, no, the frosty.
Yeah. Or the frozen lemonade. Like whatever is frozen and like, you know, I dip fries into it sometimes.
I do love the frosty. And I'm a dip the fries in the frosty kind of gal.
Yeah. I buy the fries just to dip them into the frosty. Like that's what I get when I go to Wendy's. Fries and a frosty.
Sometimes I'll make like the $2 donation so then I can get the little key tag that I can get the free little mini frosties with any purchase.
Oh, they're so little.
You're like this big.
All right.
Ashley made a fried black pepper biscuit with apple molasses, country ham, and chow chow with moonshine vinegar.
Bad for Ashley immediately because I was like, girl, how much pepper are you going to put into that mix? That is too much pepper.
This was the biscuit I had the biggest problem with. I just can't imagine after, like, it doesn't matter if you haven't been to culinary school, like, nothing. Like, Ashley, you are a chef. You should know that deep frying a biscuit is not a great idea. Like,
you're from Appalachia country, right? Like, that I've seen movies about Appalachia. Nope. Appalachia country. We're going to cut that. Only we won't. And they always already feature biscuits. Like every movie. There's one movie that I watched recently where this woman just goes on about making biscuits. Like that's her shtick. And I cannot believe that she doesn't know how to make biscuits. And like the black pepper ratio, like, my God.
It was not great. She deep fried it and it just looked like a hockey puck. Like it would look so brutal. And I just can't imagine how it wasn't so greasy and like
no.
Although apple molasses.
Everything else sounds amazing. Country ham. What's chow chow?
I think it's like a salad.
Is it like hash browns?
No, let me, like, I think it's almost like a coleslaw, but let me look it up. Chow chow to eat.
Yeah.
It's like a relish.
Oh, okay. That's even better. And moonshine vinegar?
Yeah.
Never had that before, but any vinegar I'm on board with. I love putting vinegar on foods. It's my favorite part of fish and chips.
I'm getting more into vinegar as I age.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't a fan for a long time, but now I'm into it. Joe made biscuit with chorizo, vegetable hash, and spice butter. I mean, great. I love that.
Yes. Give it to me now.
Damar made a drop biscuit with shirred egg, smoked bacon, and hot honey. I loved what Damar did. He just went so simple with it, but so classic. And I love the story that went along with it. He's like, no, like, I had to keep making biscuits until I knew how to make biscuits.
I wrote down Damar's recipe list, fam, equal my fam. Like, we don't have any recipes. At some point, I will probably write things down because my grandmother, you know, has dementia now. And she's the one who taught us how to cook things. And I'm old, so I'm going to forget. So I need to write stuff down. My sister and I are the only ones who are the keepers of these recipes at this point. And so we need to be able to pass these delicious things on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we had no, there. It was just like, sit in the kitchen until you are smart enough to be in my kitchen with me. And just like, observe, like, you can't touch stuff yet because it'll get on my nerves. And then I will teach you how to do it over and over again until you get it right. And if you don't get it right, I'm going to laugh at you. We're all going to laugh at you. But I love it. I mean, it was a critical
like trial by fire.
Yeah.
Trial by oven.
I also, can I just say,
of course,
I don't know if it's just because Damar, if it's just because Damar is from Chicago and I'm biased, but I love him.
Oh my God.
I absolutely love him so much.
My new ship of the week was Damar and Monique. Like,
wasn't married specifically because they look so cute together. I wrote that down. That's a thing.
Flirty
I wrote.
Energy, like right, but like during this challenge, and then they went on to be teammates in the next challenge.
They were so cute. They're so cute together. Ugh. Like, what if? No, I'm just writing fan fiction at this point in my head.
Welcome everybody to the Top Chef fan fiction podcast.
How many people would listen? Tweet at me, because people are doing this and I love it. I say tweet at me and people do it.
They did it this week.
They did it this week. It was so cute. Thank you for everyone who tweeted at me for getting to the end of that podcast. Yeah, this one's going to be even better. but yeah, tweet at me if you would be interested in a Top Chef fanfic podcast, because I could write some fan fiction about these two. You have no idea. Like,
do you think they would sue us?
Oh, names would be changed as well as circumstances.
Jay made a buttermilk biscuit with buttermilk fried chicken and gochujang hot honey sauce. I would order this dish in a restaurant. Oh my gosh, did it ever look good? They said that the biscuit itself was like too dense and heavy, and it was kind of overpowered by the chicken, which I get because this was a biscuit challenge. But if this was a Haley ordering from a menu challenge, I am ordering this.
Yeah, Jay was just like, I know how to make fried chicken, so that's what I'm doing. And maybe they'll pay attention to the fried chicken. Fried chicken was probably too good. Oh, overpowered the biscuit.
Yeah, it looked great.
Hot honey sauce. Give me some of that.
Yeah. Evelyn made biscuit with poached egg, chorizo, country gravy, and marinated tomatoes. Lovely.
Marinated tomatoes. Maybe tomatoes are my favorite fruit, because tomatoes are a fruit, right?
I think technically.
Yeah, technically they are. So tomatoes over straw. Like, I put tomato on everything. Now I have to grocery shop today because, like, I'm making myself hungry and I just want to put tomatoes on things.
I'm not like the biggest tomato person on its own. Like, my mother used to eat like tomatoes. Like,
oh, apples, yeah, I can eat a tomato.
It freaks me out. I like them on like BLTs or like a clubhouse sandwich.
Yeah, classic.
But on a salad, I don't really eat it. Like,
really?
Yeah,
on a salad. That's where they thrive.
I know. Or like, I don't know. Like if a caprese salad, I'll eat the tomato, but I'm really there for the cheese. And
that's where the tomatoes are Vikings.
I know.
It's okay. I have no business being disappointed in you for this. It's a food preference, LaTanya. I'm like scolding you.
Buddha made a buttermilk biscuit with fried chicken, hot honey, and cheddar. Again, delicious, but they said his biscuit was shit.
Over Buddha being so good at everything and having that accent. Like, who do you think you are?
I'm starting to really enjoy him. I thought this episode he showed like a lot of personality, which was fun.
Yeah. He does grow on you because he does come in as kind of like the, I know everything. Because he's like
he felt like Marcellish to me at first, but now he's like fine where Marcel never got.
Now he's starting to tamp it down a little bit. I feel like he's come from a background where he has to like tout his achievements. You know what I mean? Like he has to say how good he is at everything. And everyone's like, dude, we get it. Calm down. We just want to be friends.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, done that.
And we got some story of his father and how.
Yeah.
His father was really supportive, and I love hearing those stories. Like, I feel we get a lot of, like, my dad's really disappointed in me, where he's like, my dad was, like, owned a restaurant, and he was so happy for me. He's, like, my biggest fan, and, ooh, he got me. He got me good. Luke
I
made
know.
A-
I love those stories, and they're so, it's so heartening when they share something really personal, too. You know, especially a chef like Buddha, who presents with kind of like this
iron air
like you know, it's just, it's good to know that he has a soft side as well.
Luke, babe, you need to give us something here. he was not cast for his TV personality.
Goodness, nothing.
Yeah. Go ahead, girl. Give us nothing.
Go ahead. Give us absolutely zero.
Buttermilk biscuit with sweet corn and candied kumquat chili jam. Delicioso.
I don't know why even this sounds like blah to me. Like, I love all of these things, but I'm like, yeah, okay.
Give us something a little more than that.
Yeah. Spice it up. Not too much. Not like poor Ashley. Lord have mercy. I love her. I hope that she starts to turn it around.
I think she's on the upswing now.
I really hope so. Like, I really hope so. It's she's the only Black woman that we have.
Oh, yeah. I think this episode was like her, not her crown and glory, because that's like the top part. But I think we're like, I think that was, this is like the like change
the confidence she needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick made Mississippi buttermilk biscuit with crispy pork belly and frog jelly. Nick, I just want to tell you that I love you so much for bringing cookie cutters and then having a Mississippi cookie cutter.
The shape of Mississippi.
And then
I love Nick so much. Nick's 26. Like, what? When are we getting that? I want that like mass marketed by, you know, Gold Belly or something like that. Come on, people. Start the campaign.
I love the idea of bringing cookie cutters and being like, you know what? I'm making a biscuit in the shape of Mississippi.
I love it. I love him so much. Like, he just brings so much. I don't even know.
Like warmth.
Just he's such a cool person. You just want to listen to stories that he has, like while he's cooking for you.
Yes. Please, Nick, I need a biscuit. Sarah made biscuit with mushroom, maple gravy, and a poached egg. I'm interested to try that gravy.
Yeah, mushroom maple. That's not a combination that you get very often.
No, I wonder like what that would be like. But it's lovely. Monique made a biscuit with lardo and onion jam. She went pretty simple, but it was a good biscuit.
Yeah, onion jam. Who
I
knew?
Want onion jam.
Yeah.
And then like in the
gas
top.
In a container for me. Gas in a jar.
In the top, we see Damar, Evelyn, and Jackson.
Yeah, we
Jackson
do.
Taking the win. This was a good trio to
have at the top.
Yeah. I just, Evelyn is so great. She's just a ray of light. And Padma loves her. Because every time she like comments on anything, Padma's like, yes, girl, go queen. Basically, just like, you're my favorite.
I love when you can tell Padma's rooting interests. Or like, there's been a couple times, you know, like when Eric left on Top Chef Kentucky and Padma's like, Eric, pack your knives and go. Like, yeah, she basically like throws herself across the table.
Yeah.
And then in the bottom, no surprise, it's Buddha, Jay, and Ashley. They had some pretty brutal biscuits.
Brutal Biscuits. That's a good name for a band. We are the Brutal Biscuits.
I love.
It's a British accent I did once.
Have you been watching Bridgerton? Is that a show you're going to watch?
I watched the first season of Bridgerton like everyone else, just kind of like, gimme, gimme. And I found, please don't crucify me for this, people, all right? I found that of all of Shonda's shows, like, this one was the one with the least heart. Like, it's a romance show, but, like, I felt empty. It was, like, empty calories.
Okay.
So I'm really wanting something more out of season two. And I wasn't in a rush to watch it this weekend as a result. I think I'm going to start it before the Oscars. I just want to get myself in the mood for some, like, I just really hope some crazy things happen at the Oscars this year, because Lord knows, like, no one watches it anymore. And I just want to be entertained. We'll see.
Like, I would say that if your issue with the first season was that it felt like it was kind of missing that, like, heart, I think you might find that in the second season as well.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm looking for. Like, everything else is exquisite. The costumes, the people are beautiful. They're
I still enjoyed it as a TV show. Now, I read the book. I love the book.
Oh, right. You love, this is like a big weekend for you.
This, I'm not kidding. I watched it all by like Saturday.
Did you love it so much? Did it make you happy?
Didn't make me happy. I think if I hadn't read the book, I would have really enjoyed it. But because I love the book so much and I found the show very different from the book.
Oh, okay.
It was hard for me to be like, this is the same thing I loved. But I think it was still an enjoyable TV product as a standalone.
Okay.
I hate to be the person who's like, the book is better, but it's completely different, and that's fine.
I'm sad though, because like, an enjoyable TV product is not really the like highest recommendation. And I know how much you love the book.
Yeah, I still really enjoyed it, and I even went back like yesterday and watched like a couple scenes again. Like I did enjoy it, but good. It was okay, just well, yeah. Like, it's just,
it wasn't different. Empty calories for you. It was just different.
Well, I mean, everything I watch is empty calories. Like, I don't watch good television. Like, this is the Top Chef is the only like show that's like good prestige that I watch.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, if it's like nominated for like best anything, I'm out. Like, that's just not. Bridgerton is like, if
yeah,
it was wow it's for me, like watching TV. That. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is prestige TV.
Yeah. And I told Ethan, I was like, yeah, some of the episodes are like an hour and 10 minutes. And he's like, you're going to watch an episode that's an hour and 10 minutes, but you will not watch a movie that's an hour and a half. Like, what is wrong with you? I don't care about movies.
It's a valid question. I'm sorry. I'm on Ethan's side today. I'm trying not to be.
One of these times we're going to have to like get Ethan on the podcast when you're here.
Oh my God, I would love that.
I think you'd have a good time. Jackson wins this. He doesn't get immunity though. No, but he does get another advantage, and that's to pick his partner in the next challenge. Do they know what the challenge is before picking the partners? I don't think so. I think they do. Okay.
I think they do. Yeah. I think they tell them what it is and then they let them pick partners.
No, because they're sitting there. I think we see Wiley do. No, because they're tasting the dishes with Wiley there and they're already in their duos.
Really?
I think so. Because, right, they're standing there and the duos had to taste dishes and they're like, oh, I taste this. And then their partner was like, what the fuck? That's not what I'm tasting. Wow. So I don't think but it feels like
I dreamed a dream of a different show. I just completely, my mind just re-edited the show.
Yeah, because I think Buddha was such a perfect pick for this challenge. It feels like it would have been a strategic decision. But Jackson picks Buddha, and Buddha's like, you know, I was just on the bottom, right? Like, I can't make a biscuit, but you're picking me.
Yeah.
So the teams, we see Jackson and Buddha, Sarah and Robert, Jay and Nick, Joe and Evelyn, Luke and Ashley, Damar and Monique. Every team's perfect, and I love
every
them all.
Team is amazing, except Damar and Monique are the dynamic duo.
Oh God, like, just please.
They're so cute. They're my goodness. Bridgerton.
Yeah. Them. I need that show. Please. And then we see Wiley Dufresne come out, our old buddy, Wiley Dufresne.
Our old pal.
Old pal. And then they try some dishes. So they lift the cloches. They have two identical dishes. They taste them.
A word I learned this episode.
Sure.
Now I know what that is. Food covering. Cloche.
Voulez-vous une cloche? Mais oui, merci beaucoup.
Nope.
Thanks. They taste these dishes, and they're tasting different things, and then they're presented with the challenge of you have to create two matching identical dishes that taste completely different. I thought this was an absolutely brilliant challenge. I thought it kind of brought what Wiley is good at, which is like that molecular gastronomy, doing really interesting stuff with food, but doing it in a way that didn't feel like pretentious in any way. Like, I felt like there was that little section of Top Chef, you know, like about 10 years ago, where it was like a lot of this, and it was like, I'm going to smoke everything. Yes. And it's going to be a bubble, and we're going to have like watermelon water bubbles. And it's like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Just make two dishes that look
smell.
Alike. Yeah. Scented. No, I don't want
it's
a lemon
like, what
scented.
What are you doing
whatever.
With your life? No, I've been to a restaurant with like a ridiculously long tasting menu during the time that was like all the rage. And I was just like, so we're just going to have the idea of food here. We're just going to pay $200 for the notion of food.
And that's kind of my thing with it too, is like, I want to eat stuff. I don't get science. It doesn't make sense in my tiny brain. I believe in science.
Yeah.
Please don't
do you
get
believe in evolution?
I mean, we were talking about dinosaurs earlier, and you know, I'm cool with dinosaurs. I think evolution's real.
Floor,
you know,
everybody walk the dinosaur. I bet no one remembers that song. I
don't know what that is.
That is a song from my childhood for some reason. And then I was watching the Hendersons versus the Machines, I think is the name of the movie. Nominated for an Oscar. And
why I haven't seen it.
And it's like, it's a cartoon, but it's really, really good. And they had a split second of this song in it, and it just triggered all of my memories from childhood, and I got so happy. So I had to share that with you all today. Tweet at me if you
I was
remember.
Just gonna say, tweet a lasagna if you know what she's talking about.
Yeah, if you have any idea what I'm saying.
Yeah, I love this challenge. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was super creative. Yeah.
I think it's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't want to participate in this.
I would. This challenge is terrifying to me, and it's a double elimination. So my heart was all a flutter. I didn't like it. It was terrifying. I was just like, this is super creative. People should probably be able to do this if they're a chefin. But holy crap, is this terrifying? No, like, don't make me do this. What's wrong with you?
Do you think it was almost an easier route to do a savory and a sweet, or like a savory and a savory?
Well, the judges did love the double savories.
Yeah.
I honestly think that you could have gone either route if you just did it well, but it was probably easier to do a dessert because you can shape fruit and you can shape, you know, like jellies dessert items, stuff, like jellies and stuff like that, in whatever way you want, and make them look like other things.
Yeah.
And if you know how to make a cake, you can make a cake that looks exactly like, but no one knows how to make a cake.
No, I mean, yeah, like I started, I'm just memorizing a cake recipe. Just one cake recipe.
Just one.
So first presenting is Jackson and Buddha. Jackson made an everything but the bagel, salmon tartare, capers, shallots, cream cheese, bavarois, marinated tomatoes, and buttermilk scallion dressing, where Buddha made strawberries and cream, white chocolate panna cotta, strawberry jelly, strawberry pompons with cream and basil dressing. Now, I thought what they did was brilliant because it was genuinely like stunningly beautiful. It was like art dishes. Like when they came out, I was like, whoa. But they also were smart in taking flavors that they knew worked well together and just like making it really creative. So I thought they both did a brilliant job. They love these. Obviously, they did a brilliant job. Like they won the challenge. They said Buddha's was probably the best dessert they've had on Top Chef.
Yeah.
I feel like they have selective memory when it comes to desserts on Top Chef.
They're always like, this is the best dessert we've ever had. Every other dessert.
Yeah.
Because they just get so few desserts. I will say that I giggled every time they said panna cotta, which was a lot. Because during the early days of the pandemic, I called it the panna cotta to the point where I tweeted about it. And one of my friends was like, I just went out and bought panna cotta because of you. I have a show. And so every time they said panna cotta in my head, it was a pandemic. So they made a white chocolate pandemic with strawberry jelly, strawberry bonbons, and cream basil dressing. In my mind. So that was fun. I've never heard of a white chocolate pandemic, but I'm sure we'll get one. And I'm sure no one will get vaccinated
for it. I was just going to say, everyone won't believe in it.
Oh, even if God. The vaccination is just eating panna cotta. People be
I
like,
do
no.
love panna cotta because I find panna cotta is a dessert that's easy to do, not super sweet, which is nice because, yeah, like I don't always want like a super sweet dessert. Actually, I never want a super sweet dessert. Yeah. I know that goes against what I said earlier when I would follow Coke with sweet tarts, but
the beverage.
Beverage, of course. What am I rich? No.
I don't have enough money for a Coke habit. yeah, I like panna cotta. I do. It is one of those desserts that it's just on the good side of my kind of, texture thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair.
So like, I love Jell-O, but if you give me jellies and food, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
I love Jell-O. I love when I'd go to like, buffets and they would have the little cubes of Jell-O.
Yes. I love Jell-O so much.
Me too.
I have Jell-O in my fridge. It's about the only thing I have. I have Jell-O and Diet Coke.
What a combination.
What a combination. But yeah, no, I think that these both sound fantastic. I mean, let's not sleep on Jackson here. He wins both the elimination challenge and the quick fire this week. So he's cooking with gas.
Yeah, good episode for Jackson. And like, I feel like we haven't seen him tell anyone yet that he can't taste.
No,
I thought maybe we'd see a conversation with Buddha this episode, being like, "Hey,
he still can't taste, and he's killing it."
Yeah,
like this is fantastic. This is fantastic television.
Yeah, it's almost to his benefit because he's like sticking to things he knows works.
Yeah.
Like this.
It's like, I know this is good. I know the amount of whatever I need to put into it to make it taste good. Like, I'm concerned about if they have a challenge that, you know, that sometimes they have challenges that involve tasting things.
Oh, like the spice challenge. Like, what is this spice?
Exactly. So that's terrifying. But I'm almost like tempted to believe that he would just like guess enough of them to be right. Like he's really operating at a loss here and he's still killing it. Like it's a win for accessibility everywhere.
team two, Sarah and Robert, they were our losing team of the episode, and it did feel like they were set up to lose. Not set up to lose, but it felt like the writing was on the wall. Sarah made a shrimp sausage with brown butter brioche crumb with compressed cucumber pickles and pepper sausage. Robert made a strawberry panna cotta with creme fraiche Japanese brown sugar crumble, kiwi, and basil.
A strawberry pandemic.
And Sarah kind of led this team. Robert kind of just went along with it because he said this isn't really his strength. I just love shrimp so much that it's hard to see it get turned into like a sausage tureen. Like, I don't want my shrimp to be like in a gel form.
No, terrain of shrimp. No,
like,
one
terrains
said
are just like creepy to me anyway.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's a holdover from colonialism we don't need.
It's like,
stop it, British.
Yeah, it's like fancy meatloaf, but like creepy.
But like with gel.
Yeah, I don't want
it. Why are you doing this to us?
I don't want it. But I do want butter brioche crumbs. I would eat that with a spoon.
Why are the cucumber pickles compressed?
What a great question.
I just feel bad for them that this is what they came up with.
It's like they went too hard. They came up with, they said, like, we went with shapes. And they're like, no, you go with food. Like, what tastes good?
No.
What are your skills?
Shapes.
Because they said that Sarah's shrimp tureen was too firm, and then the strawberry panna cotta was too soft.
Yeah. I just feel bad for them. And like, this was an episode where you can tell Robert was like, his energy has just kind of like gone down as the season has progressed. Like, he started, I don't know if it's because it's an exhausting thing to do. Like, the idea of being on Top Chef sounds exhausting, and that could be it. It just could be that, like, the fatigue factor set in. Because, it, you know, these people really are playing like a very long term sport in addition to cooking. So
it's like physically taxing, but also mentally taxing of having to like come up with so many ideas.
Yes. And so like Robert's energy was so high at the beginning, and he was so fun in the kitchen, and he just started to fade and fade until we got to this challenge where he seemed kind of like a little bit of a shell of himself. And I was so sad, you know. I was like, just from seeing the interviews, you know, the talking heads, I was like, oh no, like, they're gonna go home.
It was a tough watch. I was really sad to see them go, because I just love that team, but I also would have been sad to see the other bottom two team go. So it was just like a lose-lose.
It really was.
Team three was Jay and Nick. What a fun dynamic those two had, too.
Jay just blazed.
Jay made a daikon salad with walnut crumbs and chilled jasmine lime broth. Nick made button mushroom beurre blanc with noodles, mushroom puree, red pepper coulis, and mushroom jus. This is our first savory dish. Mm-hmm. Jay made her daikon look like the noodles. They were pretty similar here.
Yeah,
I was pretty impressed with what they did. And the judges really enjoyed it.
The judges did enjoy it. They enjoyed the savory pairing. This just seemed like a good idea from top to bottom as well. They were able to execute quite a few components. I think that it's important for this type of challenge that these dishes be complex too.
Yeah,
but like, not. They can't be overly simple. They can't be overly complex. They have to find, like, you know, thread that needle and be just somewhere in the middle. And I think that this was like on the higher end of being complex with the daikon and the beurre blanc. Like, all of this just sounds delicious too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I would order both of these. And like, the toughest part of this challenge is not like making two dishes that look alike. It's making two dishes that look alike that actually taste good. Because I think that's where Sarah and Robert got tripped up, is they're like, mm-hmm. What can we do that looks alike, without thinking what is good food?
Right. Is this the one with the green broth? where they poured the green?
I don't think so. I think that was Ashley and Luke. They did. Jay and Nick did have a broth, though, but I don't think it was the green one.
Okay. Because the green one had me concerned. And it made sense because they were also in the bottom, right? Ashley and Luke?
No, they're in the top.
No, they were in the top. Oh, okay. That's what it was. The green one had me concerned. And then they were in the, and I was like, what? Because when you looked at it, when they first poured it, it was not an attractive pour. Mm-hmm. And then it got pretty as it settled.
Yes.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Team four was Joe and Evelyn. Joe made crispy pork belly with cauliflower puree, crispy garlic daikon relish with five spice glaze. And Evelyn made a goat cheesecake with cardamom, chocolate sauce, sesame crumble, apples, and matcha. This was another team that was in the bottom. They had some technical issues with Joe's pork belly being too crispy, the cauliflower puree being a little loose. Evelyn's goat cheese cheesecake was a little too sweet, and they didn't love the matcha in it. I think if you leave the matcha out of that, then I think that's like a great dessert.
Yes.
And I love the idea of going with a goat cheese cheesecake because you would think that it wouldn't be quite as sweet, but then she
overly kind of blew it out a little bit. So in theory, I would order these two dishes in a second. Like, they're in the top of, if they're good, they're in the top of like what I would order.
Mm-hmm.
I would be a very terrible judge for Last Chance Kitchen, for example, because the second that you put pork belly in front of me, I'm just like, yes.
Especially like the winner. So crispy like that. Like, yeah. I would really enjoy it like that.
Yeah. Like, you won. Like, just cook a piece of pork belly and put it on a plate with a flour. And I'm like, ooh, gorgeous.
Do you prefer your regular bacon, like, crispy or, like, soft?
Overly crispy. Like, to the point
of death. I want my teeth breaking.
Yeah. Like, my grandmother used to get so mad at me. She'd be like, it's done. This thing's dead.
I want to hold it up and it, like, stays in a straight line no matter
what I do. Yes, exactly. Yes. I want to be able to hit someone over the head with it. I need a weapon on the fly. we haven't mentioned the beautiful and talented Melissa was a judge on this. She was there.
I love her so much. Ugh.
Like,
what a perfect. Was she so perfect? She's
why
so
didn't perfect. They talk about that more? Ugh. Like, I know that she was around a lot last season, and I hope to God that she and Brooke are around a ton this season. But like, she just kind of showed up and there was no fanfare. Like, I'm sure that's fine for anyone else. But when Melissa shows up, you talk about it. You have her do a talking head. Ugh. You do something, you know, you give her a sash. I don't care.
And they like ate in the kitchen too, which was cool. I thought that was really cool.
That was also terrifying. Everything about this challenge was terrifying, but I thought that, the image of them eating in the kitchen was really cool.
With like all the chaos happening behind them. They're just like, doo, 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 my little twill.
Yeah. And you can kind of hear them, you get some feedback right away and you can kind of see. And also Padma's facial expressions this season are on another level.
That woman has absolutely let loose, and she like is like, this is my show. I'm showing my range here.
Yes. Yeah, I think doing her show, I'm blanking on the name of it,
Taste the Nation,
has really given her just like, you know, this confidence. Like, not that Padma is someone who needs more confidence, because like, she's the most beautiful woman in the world, and widely celebrated by all, as just a doer of good and a looker of awesome. But like, I don't know, I feel like it's given her something where she feels like she is on par with the chefs that she is welcoming into her kitchen.
I read her book a couple years ago, and she kind of talks about that. Like, when she first started on Top Chef, like, she had a food show before, but it was like different. It was kind of a little more surface level. And she talked about like feeling like out of her realm and like hearing all these other people talk about food. And she's like, oh shoot. And now I feel like she's right up there. Like, yeah, she's one of the big guns too.
Yeah. It's great. And I didn't even know she had all these expressions like in her back pocket. It's great this year.
Ashley and Luke, they were another top team. Ashley made scallops with compressed honeydew, Kinzuri toasted walnut, apple cider broth. Luke made king oyster mushroom with pickled cucumber, carrot puree, and mushroom seaweed oil broth. And these are cool dishes.
Yeah, they're really cool. And they looked great after the pour. So, like, I think it was Luke's oil broth that that threw me off when they poured it, because the oil like came out and it was separated. And I was like, oh, no, is this going to be bad? Like, it doesn't look good. It kind of looks like green motor oil. And then when everything settled in the plate, it was actually beautiful and apparently delicious, which is great.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was worried about Ashley and Luke.
Yeah.
This entire episode. They're two people who have not been doing too hot in the competition. They're pretty like quiet, low key. You know, they were kind of doing something a little out there, and then they just absolutely smashed it. And I hope this is like a good turning point for the both of them.
Yes, I hope so. And, you know, I want only good things for Ashley. I want Luke to give us something.
Anything.
You know, I mean, Luke, this is why I don't know which one you are. This is why. It's your fault.
Luke, come on, buddy. We're rooting for you.
Do a little dance. Do
tell one joke. One pun. Give us one pun. Yeah,
give us one pun. Tell us about your childhood or something.
Anything. You know, it's a team I want to see more of. Damar and Monique.
Oh, yeah.
Damar made chicken liver mousse cornbread with... cornbread sandwich with duca and tomato chili jam. Monique made a coffee ice cream sandwich with olive oil streusel and candied lime zest and fruit gel. I love the look of this. Like, it was pretty monotone, but I thought this looked really cool.
These things are so different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shocking that they could look the same.
Yeah, I thought it was just really cool.
And chicken liver mousse cornbread? Are you kidding me? Come on now. Tomato chili jam. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I love this. I thought it was awesome. So we get to judges table. In the top, we see Jackson and Buddha and Ashley and Luke, with Jackson and Buddha taking it. In the bottom, it's Robert and Sarah and Evelyn and Joe. I just really didn't want to see either team go home. But I think I love Evelyn so much that I was like, I think that's the team I would have to pick to stay.
I didn't think that Evelyn was going home this early. If Padma had anything to do with it, I really didn't. It really did, even just from the comments in the kitchen, seem like it was going to be Robert and Sarah the whole time.
Yeah. By far and away had the worst dishes. Just
right. And there were enough positive comments about things that Evelyn and Joe did right. And then just like, you know, here are some cooking mistakes that happened. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Robert and Sarah, whose concept was not great.
Yeah, like, what is worse, technical mistakes or concept mistakes?
Well, if your concept is off, you know, even if you execute it really well, it's still not going to be the best it can be. A cooking mistake kind of, you know, unless it's egregious, it just kind of could happen to any chef on any given Sunday. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that makes sense.
But a conceptual mistake is, you know,
the basis a loser of it
from.
All.
Yeah, it's kind of a loser from the get. Sure.
That makes sense to me.
And it sucks because I really like Robert and Sarah so much.
I see like a lot of like myself and Sarah almost.
Yeah.
In the same way that I like felt that way about Stephanie, where it was just like this person just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, she's so funny. And just like, she does. She makes sense to me. She is one of the people on the show where I'm just like, I would definitely be friends with her. Like, I just automatically think I'll be friends with this person. It just, you know, they just make sense to me.
Sarah, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Be our friend.
Be our friend. Come on the podcast. Tell us all the hottest goss.
Yeah, but couples are together. Blah, blah, blah.
Who's fighting? Tell us who's fighting. That's what I want to know.
But then we get to Last Chance Kitchen.
We did.
With our best friend, Brooke.
Yeah. Brooke is, like, becoming quite the taskmaster. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's really emerging as someone who is difficult to please, which I like. I love how assertive she's becoming.
I love any moment when we get to see Brooke. She's great. I thought this challenge was pretty cool too.
She's beautiful though.
I mean, she's like the queen of the jumpsuit now.
Yes. The fact that when we talked to her, oh God, we talked to her. You remember that? Oh my
God. How could I forget? Whenever I see her on TV, I'm like, my friend Brooke. So.
I know. I'm like, I asked her stupid questions. And she was fine with it. Yeah, I can't believe that we actually talked to her. I'm still getting over that. But yeah, she just lights up Last Chance Kitchen. I mean, not that, you know, we love Tom, obviously. Like, if Tom came on this podcast, I don't think I would be podcasting. I think the ghost of LaTanya Starks would appear.
I would just be like, Tom, I love you.
Right. It would just be an elaborate proposal. We'd have to do. Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about Sister Wives?
Yeah, seriously.
Because we're available.
And it would have to be a video podcast. Like, we'd have to let the people see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We put on our nice outfits. I wouldn't have, like, this disgusting top on.
Yeah, no, I would change everything about myself and put on makeup.
So in this Last Chance Kitchen, they had to make two dishes. Didn't have to look the same, but they had to be one sweet, one savory. And they had to do it in 30 minutes. And I love Sarah being like, well, I mean, I did it in 4 hours. Like, doing it in 30 minutes should be a breeze. And I loved her. She was just like, I just want to impress Brooke. I love Brooke.
Yes.
Like, I love her. It's like sister speak.
Yeah, seriously. Like, you are not alone. I am here with you.
I thought Sarah did something really smart, which was eliminate some extra prep by using a lot of the same ingredients in both dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah's savory dish was a jerk Chilean sea bass with coconut broth with fennel, pomegranate, and cilantro relish. And her sweet dish was a coconut cream pudding topped with pomegranate stir fruit and lime zest. I forgot to mention, Tom gets to pick the winner of the savory dish and Brooke gets to pick the winner of the sweet dish. And two people continue on in Last Chance Kitchen.
And this was the fact that they only got 30 minutes to do both of these things.
No, is just absolutely bananas.
Yeah. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I don't understand how they were able to accomplish it, but it was great watching them do it.
I can't even make one dish in 30 minutes, like, truly.
I know.
I just, like, putter around. I'm so slow, like.
Yeah. Is the dish peeled fruit on a plate?
Then I can do it in 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, I need time to, like, pick my music.
Yeah, I pick my TV show.
Or, like, my podcast that I'm going to listen to while cooking.
I have to read the recipe, like, 4 times.
Right. Like, I've got to, like, really get to know the ingredients.
Yeah, like, what are they asking me to do here?
Yeah, what do you want from me? I love that Sarah made a jerk. Like, she's just got a jerk in her back pocket.
Yeah, why not, eh?
Yeah, like, who knew she grew up in the Caribbean, right? Tom was like, okay.
Sure. Why not?
Cool.
Robert
was so shocked.
He was. He was very shocked. He was like, oh, you did it well here. And she's like, yeah.
He really was just shocked. He was like, you're making a jerk? Okay.
Robert made shrimp ceviche with chili paste, fried prawn cracker, cilantro, and red onion, and a buttermilk pancake with blueberry sauce and maple seasoned whipped cream. It felt like with both of these dishes, like you kind of said before, it felt like his heart wasn't totally in it.
Yeah.
Like his pancake was a crate, and it was just the one.
Yeah, it was just a single.
It was a sad little crate.
A single sad pancake. Oh, no. Yeah. And Brooke, to her credit, was like, I love crispy pancakes. So, like, he got away with that. But yeah, like, you know, a shrimp ceviche, that's just kind of neither here nor there. And if you're going to do a ceviche, then it needs to be amazing and flavorful and like one of the best ceviches they've ever tasted, because you're not it's cooking itself.
Yeah. It's not like a new concept for Top Chef.
Right.
It's like whenever you have no time, you make a ceviche.
Exactly.
Or Creole.
And yeah. And the pancake did not turn out the way that he wanted it to. Like there was something happening with the batter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, there's just a womp womp quality about
it was, yeah, you know,
the whole, like, everything with him. And he did not look happy to be there.
No. And he kind of said, like, he almost like threw Sarah under the bus in the confessionals of like, well, it was really Sarah's fault that she, like, I'm here. Like, I should have like stood up for myself, but like, it wasn't my idea.
I mean, you know, every person for themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
In one of these competition shows, but you know, to his credit, he did not say it at the judging panel. He just said it in the confessional, which I'm sure can be forgiven. Yeah. And maybe Sarah agrees. Who knows?
Or maybe Sarah doesn't even watch Last Chance Kitchen.
Maybe. Along with many of the people listening to this podcast, we are the only thing that they get of Last Chance Kitchen.
Leah, I thought had like the best two dishes.
Leah is just holding it down here in Last Chance Kitchen.
And she's still doing things that like just good things that she knows works, like pan roasted pork chop with pan roasted applesauce.
Yeah.
That's obviously going to be delicious. And she just makes it delicious. And that's the point. Like, let's just make delicious things.
Ricotta donuts. Like, yes.
With apple caramel. Apple, and she was like worried about the caramel. It was not coming together. And then it just like.
Any caramel is just like, you gotta eat it quick though, or else it's a different thing.
Yeah. It's just like, this both look delicious. So Tom went first. His favorite savory dish was Sarah's with the Chilean sea bass. And then Brooke got to pick the dessert, and she kind of called Sarah out. She's like, good thing you won that round, because this was bad.
Yeah.
Like, this was not funny. This, like, was
congratulations on your jerk, because oh my god.
Yeah, maybe that's a strategy to like focus more on the savory dish and try and be the best savory dish.
Yeah.
And like, be like, dessert. And Leah won with her ricotta donut. So we're gonna see Sarah and Leah continue on next week.
Yep, it's Leah.
I love her.
It's gonna be
Leah, like Slay and Leah.
Mm-hmm. Sarah and Leah.
Oh, I thought you meant like Leah is slaying.
So yeah, but Slea also works.
Yeah.
I just think that I'd like to see what happens ultimately. I'm sure they're going to winnow down the like people of Last Chance Kitchen to just to some point. There'll be a double elimination.
Yeah, but I also feel like we're going to have like a mid-season comeback, which I like those.
Yeah, those are good. And I mean, Leah at this point kind of deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
She's, I know it's the best chef on any given day, but like, she's cooked so many dishes to get back, you know, like she is kind of the Brooke of this season. And she's done a really good job of kind of, you know, settling into Last Chance Kitchen and making it her own. It's kind of like her house at this point.
Yeah. I'm having a good time with her. Yeah. And next week, but do you watch the previews?
I do, but then I forget them immediately. Yeah.
So I can't remember what's happening next week. So sorry about that. Latanya, what did you eat this week?
Oh, I had some foods. Okay, hold on. I've got to pull up my app here.
Like your photo app, or do you have like a separate app in which you like report all your Uber Eats
app? It's even worse. Yeah, I really should take pictures of the food I eat way more often for Instagram, because I've been eating some really good stuff lately and it's been really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a pizza tartufo that had, why isn't it bringing up your store? Un momento, por favor.
De nada.
Gracias. Okay. That's why I was like, no French, only Spanish. Okay. So it had a black truffle pate with special local sausage, basil, fior di latte mozzarella, and porcini mushrooms con panna. And it was beautiful. Like, you can see how pretty that is. Like, that's actually how it looked for everyone at home. It's a pizza. And it tasted delicious. Like, I've never had a black truffled pate before. Didn't really know what to expect, but they just kind of like put it in underneath along with the sauce, and it was just delightful. Like, that was the first taste I got. It was the first thing that they put it under the sauce, actually, which I thought was interesting. Like, it seasoned the entire like bread situation, the dough. So that was really, really good. That was from Forno Rosso here in Chicago. And then I had some good food from Union Sushi Bar, which it's Union Sushi and Barbecue Bar, which is a staple here in Chicago. Lots of people go to it all the time. So I had some crispy rice spicy tuna with sesame chili, sago mayo, and some serrano peppers. And then I also had kind of like a sweet potato tartare. So it had avocado, tomato, onion, cilantro, lemon, and then they had like these house chips that were really, really good.
Ooh.
And so the sweet potato was kind of at the top, then like avocado, then there was like onion, tomato, and lemon at the bottom. And it was kind of put into a mold, so it was a circle.
That sounds wonderful.
It was really, really good. But the best thing that I had from them, I'm trying to find it. They've got my second best edamame in the city, behind Ramen-san. Ramen-san is just kind of my go-to. Like, whenever I'm having a bad, like a really bad day, I'm just like, Ramen-san is the only thing that can cheer me up. Their ramen is the best in the city, in my opinion. And they also, because their pork belly is so good, like, they're the only place that I have eaten at that cooks pork belly that reminds me of the way my grandmother made it. And so it really, like, not only is like a warm dish to have on a cold Chicago day, but it's also like very reminiscent of home for me. But they do something special with their edamame. They kind of roast it. And so it's a little bit charred when you get it, and they put this XO sauce on it, like seasoning. It's just amazing. But Union has my second favorite. But the favorite thing I had this week was a crispy rice, creamy scallop dish. So they have the crispy rice at the bottom as kind of the, like, where the rice would normally go on sushi. And then they do something with the scallop where it's all like chopped up. And they have masago in there and some scallion. And they put that on top. And it's just, it's unbelievably crispy. Like, it's unlike, it's, I've never had this before. I've never had Union Sushi before until this week. And it's unlike anything that I've ever tasted. Is so good. So if you're ever in Chicago, definitely check out these places. Forno Rosso has amazing Italian food, pizza especially. They have that it's like a wood fire pizza oven that's very prominently centered in all of their marketing campaigns.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you kind of have to. I was not there in person, but they make what looks like amazing drinks. Cause you know, you have to look at the food porn before your food arrives.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Or before Absolutely. You order, like yeah. you have to see the pictures that people have taken of the food.
I research the menus. I look on like Instagram at the uh-huh. tags.
It's just, you have to do it. It's Nessa. And so Forno Rosso is the one place, Union Sushi and Barbecue. For the crispy rice creamy scallop dish and some pretty good edamame. And then Ramen-san, just for literally everything that they have. They do something to a tomato that I can't. It's like $7 for like just like a tiny little bit of tomato. But I'm like, oh, my God, I guess I'll spend $7 on this thing. I don't even know. I can't even explain what they do to it. Like everything that they do is just so good. My best friend Alex actually like put me onto this restaurant. She brought it to me first when I was in the hospital. This is probably why I love it so much, honestly, because I had been eating hospital food for weeks, and she brought me this Ramen-san. And like, if you get enough, they give you like a box. It's like exciting. It's like a cute little box. To like carry everything in.
Ooh.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like I ate well this week. I had a really crappy week otherwise, so I ate well this week. And so I'm gonna spend the next week working off this past week. But sometimes this is what we have to do to yeah. survive.
Yes, you just,
you know,
you need the comfort of good food.
Yeah. What did you have this week? How were you comforted?
How was I comforted? Last weekend, we went out for dinner and I got a crab cake BLT.
Ooh.
And it was really wonderful. And I find sometimes I don't always love crab cakes because they're not always like they're more like breading than crab.
Yeah.
For this, you could tell it was like a homemade crab cake. And sometimes these things get a little too rich for me, too. But it's like the perfect amount of richness. And it was just really, really delicious. Mm. I did eat a tomato on the sandwich. So it was good.
Yeah, it's a BLT. You gotta.
I also had French onion soup at this restaurant. Oh, my Ooh. God. I love French onion soup. And it was a good one.
French onion soup is a great just concept. You know what I mean?
Cheese. Bread. Onions.
Yes.
Great broth. I loved it.
To me.
I just really love French onion soup.
I do too. I've been struggling to find a mix that isn't too salty because I have to like really watch my sodium intake. Mm-hmm. And it's that's been hard. Like there's just a lot of sodium in French onion soup. And so that's one of the ones that I've had to like forego more often than not. And it makes me so sad. I can only have it on special occasions.
And then I pulled out the slow cooker this week, made some like pork carnitas and had some pulled pork tacos, and those were delicious. Yum. And then I was able to use that pork throughout the week, and I put like barbecue sauce on it with pickles and just like ate it out of the container.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I made bread this week, actually. I did make bread, and I put some like everything but the bagel seasoning on top. So that was delicious. Ooh. And then I like dipped the bread in the pulled pork and basically like a pulled pork sandwich, but not really.
Yeah, a deconstructed pulled pork sandwich. That's what they would call it on Top Chef.
Basically. Yeah. pulled pork toast.
Yeah, I just had pan Padma container. Pulled pork and a loaf of bread and a knife.
And some pickles. And some bread and butter pickles. You know what? This is probably one of my bigger food hot takes. I don't like dill pickles. I love like the sweet pickles, like the bread and butter pickles.
Those are great.
Yeah, I don't eat dill ones.
I'm not going to scold you for
Thank you. For that. I thought you might.
No. I realize the error of my ways.
I just want you to like
me. I like you so much. I love you, in fact.
I love you.
Haley, let's run away together.
Okay.
Let's pull a Monique and DeBar.
Okay, great. Sounds good to me.
Go get married on top of a mountain.
Okay. That sounds fun.
Okay.
That sounds nice.
Great.
And then I made a good salad this week.
A good what?
Salad.
Ooh. Do tell, because good salads are the best.
Yeah, I've just been craving like a good salad lately. So we had gotten some like maple chipotle chicken from one of the butchers down the road, and it was great. So they're like huge chicken breasts. So we cut it in half and like shared the one. So I had Ethan made his into like little croissant paninis. But I had mine on a salad with brie and cranberries, sunflower seeds, on like mixed greens and cucumbers, with a maple vinaigrette, and it was delicious.
Yes. I say yes to this. That sounds amazing.
It was really good.
Brie? Yes. Yeah. Like any kind of brie, mm-hmm. The cheese, the Larson, any kind.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
She's great.
She is great.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's good. Doesn't she have a cooking show like on YouTube, or am I making that up?
It's not necessarily a cooking show, mm-hmm. but no, you're not making that up. She decided that she was going to have a YouTube channel during the panna cotta, and and so I'm laughing.
I wish I would have called it that 2 years ago, but now I can't even think about it anymore. So.
Yeah, I know, because it's still going on, people. It continues whether you want to go outside or not. Yeah. Science.
Well, that was my week in food.
You sure you didn't eat anything else? I just don't want this to end.
What else? Oh, I got some 2-bite brownies from the grocery store, and then I made my own whipped cream to put on top.
Yeah, you did.
So we had some whipping cream in the fridge, and I was like, I should use this up because it's taking up room in my fridge. Whip. And then Ethan made some Rice Krispies yesterday, and those were really tasty.
Ooh.
I've never made Rice Krispie squares before, but so I just let him make. He has some specialties like Rice Krispie squares where I just go, you do this. I'm not going to.
It seems complicated. I always used to be very proud of the moms that would make us Rice Krispie treats. I don't know why. I was just like, this seems like a lot.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah. I really enjoyed them. But yeah, no, that was it. That was it. Where else can people listen to you talk about things and read things you put on the internet?
Oh, well, okay. So at some point, I am going to update my Tumblr because I have one. I know. I know. I don't want people
Tumblr?
To.
Who is she?
I know. I don't want people to go there until I have new content for it. And I have all these pieces I started and then just kind of like lost steam with them as I lost confidence that I can write. But, you know, like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but the one thing I've been able to do is write. Like, that's it. Like, that's my only talent, really.
That's not true, first of all. Well, I'm sure the writing's fantastic, but not your only talent.
Well, thank you.
Look, you're so good at this. Everyone loves hearing you. Every time you're on a podcast, people are like, hell yes.
Aw, that's so sweet.
People tell me that all the time. They're like, oh, LaTanya, she's great. I'm like, I know.
Aw. And we're friends.
Well, we're friends.
And you're great.
I force you to come on this podcast so I can hang out with you on a weekly basis.
Which that was I'm the intention. Fine with, honestly. Like, I'm so excited to hang out with you, Haley, that I wake up early for me.
Yeah, Sunday. I know. I always feel bad. I'm like,
because for me, this is like top of the morning. You know what I mean? Today's on a Sunday. Like,
today's my day off, and I just arose at 7:30.
Lord.
That's just the time. That's just what time I wake up every day, and it's like, I gotta keep in it, or else it doesn't work out well for me.
Like, I actively swear at my alarm whenever it goes off at this point in my life. I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
I can't remember the last time I slept past, like, if I sleep till, like, 9 o'clock, Ethan's like, whoa, are you okay?
Oh, wow. You're one of those. Okay. I mean, I've always wanted to be like you.
I mean, I am not a good sleeper. I never have been.
Okay.
So I have to be very regimented. Yeah. I have to be very regimented in like all aspects of my life, or my brain goes absolutely haywire. Like, I need to take my vitamins every day. Mm-hmm. I need to like go to bed early. I need to go for my little walks, or else I'm like losing my mind.
you do what you need to do to keep this beautiful creature coming back every week.
To keep the old noodle in check.
The noodle.
The noodle.
I'll be talking about noodles. No, not really. No, I won't. I will be talking about the premiere, the 2-episode premiere of the hit television show Atlanta, which premiered on the 24th and that you can now find on Hulu. And it is an FX show helmed by Donald Glover and his brother Steven. You can join me and Chappelle and Mari every week, where we will be recapping all of the things that happened in Atlanta, all of the jokes, all of the goings on. Not a ton of jokes in the first.
Oh, in the comedy show Atlanta,
not a ton of jokes in the first couple episodes. I have to say, for any of you all who are like crossover listeners who listen to both this and the Atlanta podcast, but we're going to figure out a way to make it work. And make it jokes.
This and if was, there's any trio that can do it, it's you, Maureen Chappelle.
Exactly.
Like, what? Yeah. I mean,
we can do anything. We can do anything. And then that's really this and Atlanta are kind of the two big podcasts that I have. I have a secret project that's coming up soon on post-show recaps. I will be on the 3rd episode. Oh, I forgot about this. This is amazing. Okay. So if you all have been listening to, and you definitely should be listening to, the first true crime podcast on RHAP, Crime Scene, Crime S-E-E-N, on Rahab, starring Mari Forth, my love, and my other love, frankly, Sarah Carradine, two of the best people with two of the most soothing voices that you have ever heard. And the first episode is actually a crossover with Nothing But Netflix. So you get to hear Rob and Chappelle and Mari and Sarah talk about Bad Vegan, the Netflix phenomenon that is sweeping the world right now. And I am a guest on the 3rd episode of Crime Scene, talking about an episode of an investigation discovery show that I will let them promote when they discuss that I'm coming up on the episode. So, like, if you haven't been listening, you should be. If you like true crime, you will love this podcast. If you like anything involving Mari or Sarah, you will adore this podcast. And I am blessed that I get to be on an episode with them. It was a really good time to record an episode about, like, not a great subject, but I love true crime so much. Like, I watched so much Investigation Discovery one year that my grandmother got angry with me. She was just like, every time I come in to this room, the logo is there. It's the same show. And I'm like, it's not the same show. It's many different shows.
Is it the same story? Maybe. Like, my dad was always like a big true. I mean, he still is. He's like, he's still with
he's
us.
Okay.
He's still watching that. But he'll be like, you know, I'll go see him. And he's like, yeah, I'm watching this, blah, blah. I'm like, haven't you seen this story? I was like, yeah, but I saw it on this show and this show and not this particular show.
Oh, yeah. You have to follow them across platforms. Like, if you care about true crime, you have seen the Investigation Discovery show on JonBenet Ramsey, but you've also seen the A&E show on JonBenet Ramsey, and you've also seen the CBS show on JonBenet Ramsey. Like, it's just, you have to do it.
Yeah, I was a big American Justice fan growing up.
Oh, I love Bill Curtis. He's based in Chicago. I love him so much. I love his voice. It is a soothing reminder of days in our past. And American Justice is truly one of the flagship shows of Investigation Discovery, and one of the shows that I first started to love about the network. So I'm there with you on that.
when like kids would watch cartoons as a youngster, that's not what I did. Like my dad was like, no, like I'm the adult. I have the TV changer. So I'd watch a lot of true crime, which was like probably bad for the noodle. I would have to make sure that the doors were locked. Like as like a 7 year old, I'd have to make sure the doors were locked every night. Like I had to go check the doors or else I couldn't sleep. It's funny looking back now and being like, oh wow, I did have anxiety as a child. It wasn't something I just developed as an adult. Wow.
No.
What a crazy concept.
Oh yeah. I look back at myself as a child and I'm just like, oh, who had to put up with you? I'm so sorry. Not only did I have a ridiculous like amount of anxiety, but I had to be involved in everything in order to deal with it. So my poor grandmother was just running across the city with me, taking me to all these different places to do things. And she was just like, I guess, Jesus, like you're going to add another thing to what you're doing.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a whole thing. Like to the point where when it was time to fill out my college application, I had to do a separate page and a half for my activities. I was on every page of the yearbook because I did so many. My senior year, I was just running from shoot to shoot.
Oh my God.
Or just like, because I did so many.
That's what I did too. It was just like, I just need to do stuff. Like I need to be involved in stuff because I just want something to do.
I need something to do. It's like, oh, caroling in the halls with the teachers. LaTanya's doing that.
I was on the curling team.
Whoa. Your school had a curling team.
I mean, I am Canadian.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. How were you good at it?
No, I was very bad.
Oh no!
The second year I did it, there was five of us on the curling team. There was four people who were actually good at curling and me. And then so when
it's teams of two, right?
No, there's four. So I was always just put other. I don't even remember where I was put, but. The team that year went to provincials and I was not invited.
Oh,
okay. Here's the thing about me is that I've never been great at things, but I show up.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll work hard in order to appear good.
Oh, I wouldn't even do that. I'm just like, I've resigned to my fate. I'm here for a good time. Not a being good time.
I think that is what makes us such a great duo. Cause we're like, our anxiety works in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, you need this to decompress. And I'm just like taking copious notes about a cooking show.
I haven't taken a note for a podcast in I'd say 6.75 years. 7.75 years. Yeah.
That's a credit to you, really. It really is.
Is like, it? And or your am memory. I unprofessional?
No, you're not unprofessional at all. I think if anyone is unprofessional, it's me. I dropped an F-bomb on this podcast.
It's fine.
Like it's 2 minutes in.
Whatever. People can deal with it. It's fine. if you want to listen to me talk more, I joined the aforementioned Sarah and Asia and Geneva, and we talked about the courtship. It's like Bachelor and Bridgerton made out.
Yeah, I know. And there's a black sutress.
She's so beautiful.
She's so pretty.
Like the prettiest person I've ever seen.
She looks like a beauty queen. Like she actually looks.
Well, she was like a Seattle cheerleader, so I assume that there's like a pipeline of pageants to cheerleading.
Yeah,
I don't know that for sure, but
or you could just have done cheerleading since you were a kid. Is she from Texas?
I don't know.
Huh. But there's a lot of cheerleading in Texas, like a lot. It's taken very seriously. I used to be a cheerleader, actually.
Really?
Because I did dance. I started dancing when I was four. I started dancing before then, but like I started taking dance classes when I was four. And in junior high, I was a cheerleader and we did competitions. But we got progressively worse as the competitions got more difficult because we went from winning the competition to getting like, you were here trophies. But it's still like, you know, I got to learn how to do like basic gymnastics things for a while. I was a base, so I got to throw people in the air, which was really fun. I got to do like toe touches and stuff like that. So it was cool. Like I enjoyed it, but I am a nerd. So I quit cheerleading to be on the debate team.
Okay. Now that's okay. That's a novel that should be written.
Is it?
I think so. I think you should do like some sort of rom-com based on like the cheerleader to debate pipeline. Ooh.
I've always wanted to write a script, and there's no reason to not write about debate. It's fascinating, actually.
I think you should. I think there's a story there. Anyway.
All right. That's it for us. I'll update my blog with that.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay. That's a fanfic you should be writing. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @8strong_LaTanya.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, I think.
Yep.
At LK Starks, with more confidence, she said.
And until next time, pack your knives and head on out. Daddy's back next week. Bye.
Ooh, Daddy. Bye-bye.